Their mascot is the Bearcat.
So what?
What does that even mean?
Bearcat.
It's the letter C with fingers.
A cat and a bear made it. That's what a bearcat is, right? Is that inappropriate? This is the CougarFan.com Rise and Shout Podcast, episode 189. I am your host, Adam Mangum. Matt and I talk about Matthew Dellavedova, Bryce Harper's hate of BYU, Tyler Hawes's NBA tryout tour, and Kyle Van Noy's number change. We also discuss Tanner Mangum being back from his mission, early bowl projections, and we debate whether BYU's football team can do better than 8-5. We then look at BYU's best wide receivers in history and draft the four we would choose to represent that group. This is the CougarFan.com Rise and Shout Podcast. Get all your Cougar news at CougarFan.com. Follow us on Twitter at BYU_RiseShout. And listen to us right now. CougarFan.com Rise and Shout Podcast. What's going on, Matt?
What is going on?
I don't know. You tell me, dude. You tell me. What's happening in the world of Texas?
Watching some NBA finals. Watching a little bit of that. That's been a good time.
That has been. Now, Matt,
it's got to be good when I'm watching it. I mean, seriously, because I'm not an NBA guy.
Well, I have to say, I have watched a lot more of the NBA playoffs this year than the last few years, and it's been very entertaining. Golden State, despite we're recording this on Wednesday night, they're down 2-1. Was just a fun team to watch in the playoffs. But Matt, there's a name that's been popping up on ESPN, SportsCenter, all across the nation. Matthew Dellavedova.
Oh boy.
After breaking BYU fans' hearts in his collegiate career, he's now breaking the hearts of other fans. So to those fans of those teams, Atlanta, Golden State, welcome to the club. Welcome to the We Hate Matthew Dellavedova Club.
Oh, jeez.
Welcome to it. And I'll tell you what, if I were a Golden State fan, I'd just want to punch him in the face. But he's got that mouth guard, so he'll probably be fine anyway.
Yeah, he'll be totally fine. And your fist might get lost in that beard.
That's true. So
the
Matt,
Andrew Luck beard he's got going on.
So Matt, Tyler Hawes is continuing his tryout tour right now. You know what he needs to aspire to be? Matthew Dellavedova.
That just makes me uncomfortable.
I'm just really, but what I'm saying is,
like, I get that. Just it feels that feels gross. Dirty.
Yeah. What I really mean is, Dellavedova was undrafted, and here he is a couple years later, playing in the NBA Finals. Now he and Tyler Hawes are completely different players, so their skill set is not necessarily comparable. But mm-hmm. Dellavedova is the upside of what potentially Tyler Hawes' career could be as far as not being drafted but still being in the NBA. So that can happen, and you can play meaningful minutes on a good NBA team even if you aren't drafted. It's rare, but it can happen. And Hawes might be that exception just because if he ends up learning how to shoot lights out, three-point line at the pro level, that may be enough.
That could do her.
That may be enough. But Matt,
they all want that with their advanced statistics.
Yes. They love advanced statistics now in the NBA. And I believe he has tryouts with Golden State this week and maybe Memphis, or maybe he just had, Hawes just did with Memphis. But he's still got more tryouts coming. But Matt, let's jump right into the CougarFan.com Cougars in the News.
Cougars in the News!
Matt, we'll start off with a tweet bag question from Justin D. Sweeney. Sweeney says, please have Matt Mangum defend his fellow national young superstar Bryce Harper for saying he hates BYU. So Matt, attorney, defender of the undefendable, what do you have to say for your boy Bryce Harper?
So listen, if you look at the clip, Bryce got set up here, right?
Oh, clearly,
so
yes.
He's put in an awkward situation. He's, you know, the question he's asked is, for those of you who haven't seen it, the question he's asked is, what I think the phrase was, what's your favorite Mormon stereotype or stereotype of Mormons? And you see Harper react with the, and he even says, like, really, really, guys, you're going to go there? And you know, it's a weird question. It's an awkward question. There are so many more awkward and worse things he could have picked. And I think what he decided to do was go with something in the context that was relatively harmless. Now, do I believe that Bryce Harper hates BYU? Yeah, I believe that Bryce Harper hates BYU. I absolutely do. But it was probably the most harmless thing he could pick, right? I mean, where else are you going to go? I can think of two or three off the top of my head that would have been bad ideas.
Yes, there's, you know, he got set up. Like you said, there's no doubt that because that was on MLB Network, right? That was Chris Rose and Kevin.
And they were just, and it was in good fun, right? They're just kind of joking
around.
Their talk show.
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous.
That is a tough situation to be in. Now, I will say this, to Bryce's point, not everybody who's a member of the church has to be a BYU fan. Everybody who's a member of the church has to be a BYU sports fan. And I have no issue with that.
So on Twitter also, Justin Pingle, that's at Justin Pingle, responded to Justin Sweeney's question. So that's a lot of Justin.
There's a lot of Justins going on here.
Yeah, a lot of Mormon Justins. All native Las Vegans hate BYU unless they went there. Can't hold that against them, against him, Bryce Harper. So I'll go on my little rant now that you've defended your boy, okay? I can't understand why there are those that hate BYU if you're not a fan of, like, of Utah. I just don't get it. Like, why are you spending that emotional energy on a school? You know what I mean? Like, why do you care? You know, I've always found that thing just, it's just weird. This, I hate BYU. Why do you hate BYU? Because lots of other Mormons go there. Okay, well, that's a good reason to hate a place. And, you know, Las Vegans can't, I mean, aren't they in a glass house? Should they be throwing stones in Las Vegas? I don't think so.
I'd like to hear you expand on that one for a minute.
It's Vegas, the city of sin.
Yeah, but you get outside of Vegas, out into Henderson and some of these areas, it's a very normal suburban area when you get out, when you get off of the strip. I mean, come on. It's just a desert suburb. That's all it really is when you get out there.
Well, I don't like desert suburbs. How's that? How's that, Las Vegans?
Oh, man. There's your favorite Mormon stereotype that all Mormons love. Desert suburbs.
Yeah,
I hate desert suburbs.
I hate desert suburbs. I honestly do. I'm not a big fan of a lawn filled with rocks, though I understand why in Phoenix or Las Vegas you don't. I'm not a moron. I get why you don't put a lot of grass down.
What I think is interesting is I've had times in my life where people assumed I was a fan of the University of Utah because I was a Mormon. I've had people assume I was a Utah Jazz fan because I was a Mormon. That makes a little more sense.
No, it makes more sense. The University of Utah's. You lived in Utah, right? To go to college at BYU. So it's not inconceivable that you could become a Jazz fan while you're there. You became a Nationals fan after you moved to D.C., right?
Yeah. We were both new in town at the same time.
So, Matt, next in Cougars in the News, let's leave that one behind. Kyle Van Noy changes his number and hopefully more. So, Matt, last year it was kind of a lost season for Van Noy. He didn't end up playing that much after the injury. I think if I'm looking at his stats correctly, he played in 54 defensive snaps in 9 games. That includes the playoffs, and had 6 tackles. Do you think this is just a one-year injury blip, or do you fear that he may not, you know, it's a whole nother year later. Does this put him too far behind?
I think it's just a one-year injury blip. People have this type of injury before. You know, I think it's been described as a abdominal or core muscle injury that required surgery. There's two or three things that could probably be. If you remember, Rob Morris, his junior or senior year at BYU, had an injury that was described very much the same way. Never had an issue with it again. So, you know, I think that this is kind of a one-year thing. they were careful with him. He was, you know, they had moved up in the draft to get him. I think you take the safe route in that situation. If you're the Lions, you make sure that you let his body heal and you keep like kind of a long-term view in mind with your draft pick. So I think that's really what they're looking at here. It sounds to me like he's come back this season really, really motivated. He's still a freak of nature. So I anticipate that he'll make an impact here, you know, coming through OTAs and into the fall and see an expanded role with their defense.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, I don't think this changes a whole lot for him. I do think that it is unfortunate, you know, the injury. And I think because they were on the playoff run and all that stuff, it just became kind of a, well, you know, people were playing well and you don't rock the boat in season, right? So anyway, I agree with you. I'm not overly concerned about Veno at all. Look forward to seeing him and Ziggy sack some quarterbacks this year.
And honestly, I like the new number.
Yes.
The old number I felt like was kind of weird. I felt like, oh, they just stuck him with that because he's a rookie.
Yeah.
That's really what it felt like to me.
Yeah, a 54, right, is this new number.
I thought it was 53. But
53, you're right, yeah. Looking back at the article. So, Matt, Dick Carman had a column this week about Krešimir Čosić. Gosh, I could never get the name right. And some interesting anecdotes about him in Europe and especially in his native Croatia. And just kind of a cool story about how, you know, we've talked about this on the podcast, about how the legacy he's left in Europe and his native country, and that here there are people that have no association with the church or BYU at all, but they have respect for BYU and the church because of Krešimir's influence there in that country. I found it just a fascinating read. So if you haven't gone to the Deseret News and read friend of the podcast Dick Harmon's piece on that, I would definitely go check that out.
Fascinating character.
Yeah, just awesome. I mean, he is a pioneer in Europe, European basketball, and one of the best to play at BYU. We've talked about that on previous podcasts. I would say maybe the most underrated player that BYU fans just don't remember. And granted, he played before either of us were born, so that's part of it.
Right.
Moving on, staying on to basketball, I should say, the NCAA has adopted some rule changes, Matt. The one we discussed previously, which was going down to the 30-second shot clock. We were both on record saying it's not going to be a huge difference, but it'll make a difference. Four-foot restricted area arc and four timeouts instead of five. So Matt, I wish they'd go down to like two timeouts.
Well, no more than three of those are going to carry over into the second half.
Yeah, which is good.
I like that.
I do like that. I just want them, I would rather them go to minimal timeouts. I mean, it doesn't have to be like hockey where you have one timeout a game or something crazy, but I would like to see two a half. I just think I'd rather watch the players play than coaches write on a whiteboard.
Well, especially the end of basketball games have become so painful to watch.
Yeah, they have.
And that is one way to fix that. Yes. You reduce the number of timeouts because
you gotta go, you know.
Let's go.
So other on the women's side, interestingly enough, they made more significant changes. Four 10-minute quarters instead of two 20-minute halves. And I thought this was the best one. Arenas will be allowed to play music in dead ball situations, which is more like the NBA as far as atmosphere is concerned. And then other rules adopted, Matt. This one has not – I don't know why this isn't getting more play, but I've been advocating this forever. Players will be given a 6-foul limit during the 2016 postseason play other than the NCAA tournament. So they will be experimenting with the 6-foul limit in the NIT and CIJ or whatever those other things. And then officials can consult the video monitor for potential shot clock violations throughout the game, not just in the final minutes. I think those, I mean, I really hope they go to six fouls, and I really hope at some point they add fouls for overtime as well.
But
I'd like to see them go to six fouls. You and I have talked about this before. I know you're not exactly in my camp. I hate fouling out. I think it's dumb. But, you know, I seem to be in the minority.
I understand where you're coming from there. For me, the big foul issue is if you foul a guy on purpose, that's an intentional foul.
Yes.
And should be treated that way.
Yes, but the NBA and the NCAA do not treat it that way, unfortunately.
Well, that's because the rules changed in the last 2 minutes of the game.
Yes.
It's a different game. It's like the shootout. It's like the overtime shootout. It's all of a sudden the game becomes a different sport.
Yes. Yeah, and it's an unfortunate for. I think it's unfortunate. I'm not a big fan of that. So Matt, staying within basketball, still is Frank Bartley IV today. Finally, kind of spoke out about his decision to go to. Let's see, heading home to Lafayette, Louisiana, to play basketball. Louisiana Lafayette. He said they had recruited him since high school. And once he announced he was leaving BYU, they were the first school to come ask him to come, and he did. So I'm pretty excited for him that he found a good place where he feels comfortable going.
Well, and I think for him it was about he is getting to play the position that he wants to play, and getting the minutes that he wants. And, you know, and not waiting till he's a senior or trying to wait through some situation and hope that something shifts.
Yeah.
So it sounds to me like this is going to be a better situation from a playing standpoint. You know, and I think you and I both have always, you know, for the past maybe two seasons, we've always in a season preview for basketball kind of hoped that it was going to be the year he would break out.
Yeah.
It just hasn't worked out that way.
No, unfortunately, it did not. In this article at the Des News, a couple of things were brought up, including Coach Pope trying to get him to come to UVU, which I thought everyone suspected, but he confirmed that in our article. And he also was asked whether religion played a decision in his part of his decision, and he said no. His best friends, he said, his first year were Mika and Worthington. You know, and I think what caused him to change was basketball reasons, right?
I think it were basketball reasons, but the other thing to think about is, you know, Mika and Worthington were his best friends, and
they're both not there.
They're both gone, right? Yeah. And so that'd be tough too. You come into a new place, you're far away from home, you make a couple of friends, then those friends leave. You're not getting to play kind of what you kind of came there to do. I think there's a variety of things there that would make that, you know, not a real fun situation for you if you kind of try and put yourself in his shoes. But at the same time, unless he had had some crazy, stupid experience, what is he going to say when he's asked that question?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, exactly. Is he going to say, even if he does feel that way, and I have no reason to believe that he feels anything differently than what he said in the article, but even if he did feel differently, do you think anybody is really going to say something like, yeah, well, I got there and realized those people are nuts?
I mean,
nobody's going to say that.
Sure they would. If they were bitter. Oh, yeah, people rip the school they transfer from all the time. I mean, he has said nothing negative about BYU. There have been other BYU transfers who have ripped BYU.
That's true.
And talked about the church in negative ways, too. So I'm going to disagree. He might not, right? You may be correct. He may have feelings where he's like, this just wasn't my thing, right? But he's not going to say it because he always struck me as a pretty, you know, articulate and classy guy, right?
But I think his real issue in transferring is basketball related.
Yeah, he wasn't going to play, right? He hadn't played a lot, and the guard crunch next year, I mean, he's a bright guy. He could see what was coming. So,
right.
You know, good for him, and we wish him the best. Last item in Cougars in the News, Matt, USA Today doing a bang-up job as always. And that was sarcasm. They put together a list of the 10 best colleges for Division I men's volleyball. Okay. And I believe this was, today, posted on June the 10th. Pepperdine is first, USC, Loyola University in Chicago, very good school, Stanford, UCLA, Penn State, California at Irvine, and then Brigham Young University. This list sucks. BYU should be higher. Have they ever gone to a game? They don't even mention in BYU's write-up. They talk about everything except they don't say anything about the environment at the Smith Fieldhouse. So I have to feel like whoever wrote this hasn't spent a lot of time with college volleyball
or with BYU, frankly, because anytime somebody says international missionary work is a central part of postgraduate studies, no, it's not. It's not a BYU requirement, folks.
No, and
there was zero research. There was a quick Google search. That was it.
And then he says Chris McCown, who has since resigned. They just mention him as the coach. Don't mention that he resigned. And also said before coaching, he was a play-by-play announcer for the BYU Sports Network, a.k.a. BYU TV. Is that what they're trying to say?
Oh, my gosh.
I ripped some journalism last week. I'll rip it again this week. I don't care. If it's bad, it's bad. That's just how it is. That being said, the top end of the list is fine to me. I don't have any Pepperdine, USC, Loyola, those Stanford. They're great men's volleyball.
Great volleyball program. Yeah, yeah. Great volleyball program.
I think BYU should have been higher, but
Provo's got maybe the best home environment in the country.
Yeah, it's tremendous. And to have that not even mentioned in a write-up just makes me feel like this was a throwaway article.
They didn't even watch a game on the BYU Sports Network.
That's right. If only they could find the BYU Sports Network on their cable television. Okay, Matt, let's move in to football. All right? A couple of news items from football. Tanner Mangum is back from his mission.
Welcome back, Elder Mangum.
Well, and if only I remember being Elder Mangum coming back from my mission. I don't think there was this much press coverage.
No, actually, I don't believe there was any press coverage when I came home from mine.
I believe that is correct. So, welcome back, Tanner.
No, there might have been a mention in the local paper.
Yeah, that nobody reads.
In our small hometown.
Yeah, I don't think there was.
There may have been.
I don't think there was. So, Matt, the Associated Press has come out with their early bowl projection. And let's see here. They have us in the Hawaii Bowl playing Temple. So what do you think about that, Matt? Hawaii Bowl playing Temple.
Book your tickets now, folks. You might as well just start buying your tickets to Hawaii now.
Now they have the University of Utah versus Louisville in the Sun Bowl. Let me be very clear about something. If Utah is not in one of the top tier Pac-12 bowls, I believe there's 100% chance that BYU and Utah meet in the Las Vegas Bowl.
Wow,
100%. Oh, are you serious? Like, you think that's weird?
I don't think they want to play us.
It doesn't matter. They don't get to decide.
They have some type of input with the Pac-12?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
But the Pac-12 is like their best friends.
Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. The Pac-12 comes and says, we can set you up only a few hours from home so your fans can get there against BYU. It's a rating bonanza. It's for a Las Vegas Bowl. I mean, they've got Utah State versus California. You know what I think about that matchup? No bowl official. The Las Vegas Bowl officials are already chomping at the bit to get that matchup. So, again, Utah may end up in a higher tier bowl. They may have a better season, right? So then then it's a moot point. But I don't know. I just think this is I think that's what they're going for. I think this whole thing with the Las Vegas and Hawaii Bowl, it is all set up so that they can try to get us in Utah to play each other in a year where we don't play each other. That's just my two cents.
So would that be pretty cool?
I think it'd be cool to play him in a bowl game, don't you?
Yeah, actually, I think that could be fun.
Yeah, I mean, you and I are not the biggest proponents of the rivalry, but we're not anti-rivalry, right?
Oh, no, I'm not against the rivalry. I mean, come on.
Yeah, so, I mean, if we don't play them every year, my heart's not broken, but to play your rival in a bowl game, you know, in Vegas, close to home for both schools, fans, you know, get into it, I think it'd be cool. But again, a lot of things have to align for that to happen, right? I mean, if Utah ends up in the Pac-12 championship or something, which I think is possible, I don't know that it's the most likely scenario, but it's certainly possible, then they're not going to play in the Las Vegas Bowl, right? They're going to play, you know, either if they win that, they'll play in, you know, a New Year's Day Bowl. They may play in a New Year's Day Bowl even if they made the top game and didn't. But if they kind of fall down the standings, then I think it's a possibility. I'd rather play Utah than Temple.
Yeah.
Let me say, when I saw that matchup of BYU versus Temple, that is not going to get anybody excited. So
let's. Are you gonna buy a plane ticket to Hawaii to watch that?
I'm not likely to do that, regardless. But no.
What if that game were in Minneapolis? Would you go?
Yeah, of course.
BYU Temple in Minneapolis.
Of course I would.
Green Bay.
You're gonna
travel that far for it?
Yes. If this was in reasonable driving distance, I'm in. I don't know. It's hard at the holidays, though, right? Because that one's, what's that scheduled for? Christmas Eve or, like, day after Christmas or something?
Yeah, something crazy.
So, anyway, let's finish off with a couple of tweet bag questions, Matt.
Tweet bag.
So, Justin D. Sweeney has a question. Now, we've answered this one before, but I don't mind answering it again. Thoughts on the college football playoff on New Year's Eve this year, better, worse? He says, I kind of like it because nothing else to do on New Year's Eve night.
What?
Justin.
Sweeney.
It's time for you to live a little, bud.
What's going on, buddy?
Invite some friends over. Play some geeky board games or something.
Is everything all right, man?
Read your law books. I don't know.
He's got a lot of books. Clearly lots of books. No, really, though? I mean, really? New Year's Eve? Nothing else to do?
Nothing. Apparently, there's nothing else to do, man.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I know what I'll be doing now. My plans are now set.
Yes.
But, I mean, it's not like I'm totally lost on New Year's Eve without that.
But I've shared this before on the podcast, Matt. I hate it being on New Year's Eve. I think it's dumb. I think it's only going to do it, even though it's scheduled for many years to be on New Year's Eve. I think it will only be 1 year because I think the ratings will be bad and they will rearrange everything with the Bulls.
In big cities, there's so much going on New Year's Eve. I think they will struggle a little
bit. Well, and also, like, we have kind of started a tradition of having a few friends over to play board games, right?
Right.
My wife and my kids are not, newsflash, not as excited as me about the college football playoff. So it's going to be a hard sell for me to basically say, let's not all do something fun that you guys want to do so that we can sit around and watch two football games.
Yeah.
Plus, it was so nice last year to have all the football all day like the old days.
Oh, it's awesome.
It was great.
Wall-to-wall football. That's the way it should be.
It should be that, Matt.
But every day of the year.
So, Matt, Jeff Johnston, that's at Jeff J BYU, asks, in how many games this season will Broncos defense give up more than 24 points? And how many games will BYU score more than 24 points?
Ooh.
So, like we always do, Matt, it's time to get very analytical.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Analyze this.
So we're going to go game by game.
Here we go.
Game by game, defense and offense. 24 points is the threshold. Matt, will Nebraska score more than 24 points?
Yes.
No, says I. Will BYU score more than 24 points?
No. What?
You just predicted a loss.
What did I just do?
BYU will score more than 24. Nebraska isn't good, by the way. Boise State, will they score more than 24?
Yes.
Yes, I agree. Will BYU score more than 24?
Yes.
I agree. I'm predicting a win. You're predicting a loss because you hate the Cougars.
Whoa. I'm not predicting a loss in Boise. The Boise game?
Oh, I thought you had before when we did this.
This stuff changes. This changes every time we do it. Come on.
That's true. All right. UCLA, score more than 24 points?
No.
I would say yes. Will BYU score more than 24 points?
Yes.
I will say yes, but I'm predicting UCLA wins.
I've got to win there. I've got to win.
Obviously, the math works out that way. At Michigan, will Michigan score more than 24 points?
Yes.
No. Will BYU score more than 24 points?
Yes.
No.
Oh, really? Yeah. So this is a defensive showdown.
I think this is a team that, with the talent they have on the roster, that will be best prepared to contain Taysom.
Okay, I'll give you that.
I think it's going to be a really close game. Connecticut, will Connecticut score more than 24 points?
No.
Will BYU score more than 24 points?
Yes.
East Carolina, same?
No.
Yes. No, yes. Cincinnati, I'm going to say yes and yes.
Really?
Yeah.
You think Cincinnati's going to put up 24 points?
Why not?
Because they're Cincinnati?
We're just making that up.
Their mascot is the Bearcat.
So what?
What's wrong with
a Bearcat? It's
the letter C with fingers.
A cat and a bear mated. That's what a Bearcat is, right? Is that inappropriate? is that how a Bearcat is? I think I know what our opening is. Well, Matt recovers.
It's been like a year since we... Okay.
Since we had a total laugh fest where you couldn't control yourself.
A breakdown there. Okay. You just said...
Bear mating.
Woo! No?
All right. So, Wagner Seahawks, no and yes, right?
Yeah.
No by a lot less, yes by a lot more.
Don't think Wagner Seahawks get in the end zone.
I'll match you with that. I agree. At San Jose State, I say no and yes.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
At Missouri, Arrowhead Stadium.
It's in the state of Missouri.
It is in the state of Missouri. Barely. I'm going to say yes and yes. Offensive battle.
No, I can see that. I'm with you there.
Fresno State, I'm going to say no and yes.
I'm going to say yes and yes on Fresno State.
Okay. And Utah...
Just because I'm crazy.
You are crazy. Utah State, I'm going to say yes and yes. I think that game
I agree there too.
Close and in the high 20s.
The shootout.
Yeah, so there you go, Jeff. There you go, Geoff. We answered your questions. And then our last one is from Todd and... which I believe is actually Todd and D.
I'd like to apologize to both Todd and D.
Well, my pronunciation is more interesting. What's more likely, BYU goes 3-1 in September or Tyler Haws gets drafted? I'm going to say BYU goes 3-1 in September.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually think that is a possible scenario.
I think it is a 50-50 scenario.
I don't think Tyler Haws is going to get drafted.
I think there's about a 2 or 3% chance. You never know with these workouts, though, right? If somebody really falls in love with them and they've got a late second round pick and they say, "I don't want to have to go out and
compete
on this," maybe that happens. But I'm with you. I don't think it's particularly likely. Matt, one more news item before we move into something else here. All right. So in Lawless Republic, Matt, can BYU, at Lawless Republic, they asked the question, can BYU do better than 8-5? Okay. So we're looking at a couple of straight 8-5 seasons. 8-5 is kind of the mark everyone wants to get past this year.
With the toughest schedule maybe ever, which I thought was last year, but might be this year.
I think this year's quite a bit tougher. Matt, I think the answer is I believe they win 9 games or higher. How about you?
I believe they can win more than 8 games.
Wow.
I don't know that I'm ready to jump on the 9 win. I'm not ready to jump on the 9 win wagon yet. I think they've got it in them. But this is a tough slate.
If Taysom Hill stays healthy, they win 9 games or more. Predicting it right now.
Okay.
They were rocking. Taysom Hill, I mean, sometimes I forget this. He completed 66% of his passes going into last year total. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not just a runner anymore. He can throw.
You know, I went in to get my oil changed last week, and I was talking to the guy. I was wearing a BYU polo.
Okay.
And the guy says, "Oh, I bet you were pretty bummed when your quarterback went down last season." And I said, "Yeah, he was awesome." And he looks at me and says, "I'm a UT fan." And I said, "Oh." He said, "Yeah, I was not happy with the way he ran all over us." And I said, "Yeah, he was kind of superhuman in that game."
Not and just smiled. One. Did it to him twice, didn't he?
Yeah, his friends were like under the hood of my car.
Yeah, that's
I really
wise.
Didn't
want to
rock
talk
the
trash.
Boat. Didn't want to rock the boat.
That's true. That's true. So Matt, let's move on. We're gonna have a draft here. Jay Yeomans of the Deseret News ranked. He's been ranking different BYU positions this offseason. He ranked the wide receivers this week, yesterday, as a matter of fact. His top 10 looks like this: Colley at 1, Phil Odell. Which I couldn't have told you that name before today, at 2, Cody Hoffman at 3, Eric Drage at 4, and then I'm just going to stop at 5. I said 10, but we're going to stop at 5. And Margin Hooks at 5. You and I are about to draft BYU wide receivers. Are you ready to do that?
So just to be clear, are we drafting BYU wide receivers, or are we drafting BYU wide receivers haircuts?
I'm going to say we'll save the haircut one for another day.
Okay, so I should not take John Betham with my first pick.
No, you should not. Well, I mean, whoa, what am I saying? Take whoever you'd like.
Well, I just want to make sure. If it were haircuts, he's going first, and Matthews is probably my second. But since we're not doing haircuts, I will digress.
Not doing haircuts. Not doing haircuts.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
I have no idea what you're talking about. You're getting weird. It's like it's worse than when bears and cats mate. So
now that's just weird.
Yeah.
You just said it again. You just said it again.
Well, I'm pretty sure you thought I said they made it.
So. Hey, you know what? Is there really a difference? Yeah. You're saying the same thing either way.
That's true. It's a matter of semantics.
Put on a little soft jazz.
By the way, the sound you're making was not soft jazz.
That is definitely not soft jazz.
So, definitely. Do you think Bears definitely would choose Barry White? Don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I wish I could do a Barry White voice.
Yeah, I can't really do it. I can't do it justice. It sounds terrible. All right.
You just ruined the mood.
So, Matt, we had a suggestion last week, and I got to get to the tweet from Todd. Let's see if I can find it. Todd, where are you? Todd last week tweeted at us, "I know you think you're magnanimous, but shouldn't you be considered mangumnanimous?"
Yes!
Full of mangumnanimity. And the answer is, darn right, Todd!
That's what I'm talking about.
So, because I am so mangumnanimous and full of mangumnanimity, I will let you go first.
Hey, I appreciate that. And you know what? Go ahead.
I was going to say, and we now have a new nickname for Tanner Mangum.
Yes!
The mangumnanimous.
And nobody can pronounce it.
Nope. Nope. Not even guys with that last name is their own.
It's going to be so awkward.
So what were you going to say?
I'm going to go ahead and draft.
All right. Draft. Fire away.
This is easy.
Yes, it
is. Austin Colley.
Yes, it is.
I mean, is it really even a conversation?
Well, probably not. I mean, he has, I think, by far the best season any BYU wide receiver has ever had in 2008. 106 catches, 1,538 yards, and 15 touchdowns. All of those are single-season records for a BYU wide receiver.
The guy was phenomenal.
And if you go to his career stats, he's third in catches, second in yards, and second in receiving touchdowns. So can't really argue with that, Matt. Can't really argue with that. Mm-hmm. I am going to select with the second pick in our draft, Cody Hoffman, who has probably, at least statistically, owns, you know, the total yards and total receiving touchdowns. But I'll go with Cody Hoffman with number two. And then with my second pick and the third pick of our draft, I pick Eric Drage.
Mm.
Over 3,000 total yards. He averaged, Matt, almost for his career, 19 yards a catch.
That's unreal.
I'm not great at math, but that's pretty good. That is pretty darn good. Now, he didn't have, like, a monster season like Collies ever, but he was pretty darn good. So, Matt, your second pick.
My second pick, I'm going to go ahead and take Margin Hooks.
Ooh, good choice, good choice.
For, you know, if you look at his numbers, you know, total yardage is really what jumps out at me. You know, you hit a really good campaign in 99, but for a career, the 2,800 receiving yards, I mean, that's a pretty impressive feat.
Yes, I would agree. Yes, it is. Who are you picking third, your third pick?
Third is tough for me. I waffle around a little bit on this one, but I think I'm gonna go ahead and make the safe pick and take Andy Boyce.
That is the safe pick, and quite frankly, a good one. I can't criticize that pick.
Nationally, it was kind of nationally ranked in some categories. You know, just a consistent guy. Yeah, I think that's probably the safe pick here.
Yeah, I agree with you. So Matt, I get to go back to back again. I'm gonna take with my two choices. I'm going to take Mark Bellini.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, Matt Bellini. I picked the wrong Bellini.
You're gonna take Matt Bellini, or are you gonna take Mark Bellini?
I'm gonna take Mark. Matt was kind of a running back.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I'll take both. Mark. Could I take both the Bellinis?
If you really wanted to, I guess.
I could take both the Bellinis. Who's gonna stop me? Huh? Who's gonna stop me? No, I'm gonna take Mark Bellini, not Matt Bellini. And then I am going to, with my last pick, just because I absolutely, he was my idol as a kid, Glenn Kozlowski.
Yeah, I knew it. I thought about taking him just so that you couldn't.
Oh, that's kind of being a jerk, but yeah. I guess that's your thing.
Oh, absolutely, it's being a jerk, and that is my thing.
All right, so who's your last pick?
Do you know what I'd want to do?
Do it. It's our draft. You can do whatever you want.
Want to take Jordan Leslie, but I'm not going to.
Oh, you can take Leslie. I think it's too high, but I'd be okay.
I feel like it is too high. But you know, but the other guy I'm thinking about here that I'm going to take with my pick is also probably too high.
Okay, fire away. Let's do it.
K.O. Kalalui.
Yeah, that's too high.
It's way too high.
Maybe it's not that high. I would have taken Junior Mahe. His career is a little weird because he played two positions as well. Mm-hmm. Phil Odell, he's seventh on the list in total receiving yards. He played in the 60s. I don't really know anything about him, so I wouldn't pick him. But obviously, he's one that's there. We left off the tight ends, of course. So Pitta, Chris Smith, and others. Would not be included, but
see, I want Todd Watkins to be on that list.
Yeah, Watkins would be a worthy selection.
It was a tough time.
Yeah, Watkins could be a selection. I mean, if you just go by seasons, Jay Miller's 1973 is 100 catch. I mean, there's only been 300 catch, 100 reception seasons. Mahe had a great season in 2001 with that just a spectacular offensive machine. You know, Odell, I mentioned. Mitch Matthews could be creeping into this discussion in a year.
Yeah, I think he needs some time.
Yeah, another really good season, another near 1,000, you know, 70-plus catch season. He could be there, I think. It could be part of it. And, you know, there's what I found interesting is, you know, some of these guys, you know, obviously before the 70s, I just don't know them. Phil Odell had a couple of really great years. I just, you know, in a non-passing environment, maybe what he did is more impressive than some of the guys we talked about, but I don't know how to judge that. So anyway, Matt, that is our wide receiver draft of the best wide receivers in BYU history. So Matt, anything you'd like to say before we sign off this week?
No, I think it's pretty much all been said.
Yes. Certain mating habits of wild animals and things. Well, one wild animal and one domesticated animal. So.
Oh, so it's a house cat.
Well, I mean, it's not going to be a feral cat. Come on. Seriously?
Why would the bear be interested in that?
Yeah.
It's not even like a bobcat, is it?
No, it's a bear cat.
The tabby cat.
Yeah, it's a little, you know, a little, you know.
Meow.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, I better stop before we have to edit ourselves. Anyway, Matt, we will be back hopefully next week with another podcast. We got some great guests lined up in the future, including Bill Connolly of SB Nation. We'll have him on a future podcast. We're trying to work on a few former Cougars that hopefully will line up this summer as well. As always, check out CougarFan.com for all of your BYU sports news needs. Follow us on Twitter at BYU_RiseShout. And, of course, we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars!